In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. We are all basically paralyzed. We're all helpless, unable to really do anything for ourselves. Not only spiritually, but even physically when we stop to think of it, because everything that we have, everything that we are, depends upon God. And it is so easy for us to forget Him when it should be so easy for us never to forget Him. The very breath that we take, the air that is surrounding us, is all God's gift. Our heart that constantly beats, which is a mystery to mankind. How can it keep on beating? When does it rest in between each beat, and how did God so arrange it? And too often we think of God somehow as this creator. He created us, and then He just steps back and allows everything to happen. And He's no longer involved. And I think that is really a pervasive idea when it is completely false. Because God is intimately active in this creation of His. Our hearts are constantly beating because God is keeping them beating. It's not that He set our hearts in motion and then just stepped back and, okay, let it run its course. And if He does this with our hearts, with the hair on our head, with our very being, how much more so in all of creation? And if it were not for this grace of God, our hearts would stop beating. Our lives would cease to exist. We exist because God has thought of us. We continue to exist because He continues to think of us. And so every single thing that happens in our lives happens because God allows it or directly wills it. He can change anything at any time. And so often our prayers are to a God whom we think has no power to really change anything. We pray without real faith, without true conviction. We hear the words of absolution, "Your sins are forgiven you." And we doubt, like the scribes and the Pharisees in the gospel. Does God really forgive me? Does He really mean what He says? Did He really create all this earth for me? Does He really think of me? Is my heart beating, my lungs breathing, simply because God is thinking of me at this very moment, even though I may completely forget Him? The doubts seem to be insurmountable. They're everywhere. And what do we do? How do we live? We live like pagans. We live like those who do not know God. When St. Paul in his epistles would tell us over and over again, "You are a chosen people. We have received the grace of the Holy Ghost. We have received the faith. This is a tremendous gift. But yet, we worry about what we're going to wear, where we're going to sleep, what we're going to eat, as if we did not know that there was a God, as if we did not believe that we have a Heavenly Father watching over us." And I mentioned at the beginning, this leaves us in a paralyzed state. If we have no control over our lives, and there is no God who has any control over our lives, there's nothing we can really do to alter our situation. We are no different than the brute beasts. And it leaves us in this paralyzed state. What can we do? Nothing. Where can we go? Not really anywhere. We're just spinning our wheels. And I look around at our lives and I think, yes, we're truly just spinning our wheels. Going in circles, never accomplishing anything. At least spiritually. But even physically, materially, so many times I see that people are nothing more than like mice on their treadmill there, going round and round. Or now we've changed it from this treadmill. We've got the walking sidewalks, moving sidewalks, exercise treadmills. We have all these things so we can make a lot of motion but never accomplish anything, never really move. We're stuck. And I think the biggest obstacle to us is a spiritual one. Those who do not know God aren't going to go anywhere, aren't going to really accomplish anything. Oh yes, they may make great strides and advances in science, in the material world, which God often gives them and allows them because they have nothing to expect in eternity. But they cannot make any real progress in their spiritual life, in understanding and contemplating what this world is really all about. They've come to rule so much of creation by mere brute force. When God sent us out, when He gave the command to Adam and Eve to subdue the earth, I don't think He intended for us to go and beat the earth into submission by brute force. Originally, all of creation was meant to obey man. Man would give the command, and all of creation would obey. And we see that in the lives of the saints, creation does obey. We see St. Anthony of Padua preaching to the heretics who would not listen and turn their back to him. So he turns to the sea and calls all the fishes, and shoals of fishes come to hear him, shaming these heretics. They obeyed him. Why? Because he was living a spiritual life. His life was in direct order with God's. And when his life is in order with his Creator, the rest of creation is in order with him. It obeys what he says. Just as all of creation obeyed Christ. When our Lord tells us that we are to follow him, that we are new creatures in Christ, that Christ is living within us, that we are members of this mystical body of Christ. Truly, all of creation should obey us. All of the animals should listen to us and do what we command. Christ told his apostles, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, cast yourself into the sea, and it would do it. Where is that kind of faith? Where are those saints who lay their hands on the sick and heal them? We are supposed to be those saints. We are supposed to be those creatures in union with God, who can speak with authority to all of creation, Because we bear within our souls the image and likeness of God. But if we don't believe it, that image, that likeness of Christ within our soul is disfigured. It is distorted. And we become like the rest of fallen nature. Our entire faith, the whole reason for Christ coming here, all that the Catholic Church teaches us, is designed to draw us closer to Christ, to unite us one with Him. So that we speak, we act in His name. So that we all, each and every one of us, not just the priests and the bishops, but every single Catholic, can begin to say with St. Paul, it's not I, but it is Christ living within me. And until we reach that state, it seems to me that we are all paralytics. We're all paralyzed, incapable of moving, incapable of doing that which we are supposed to be able to do. When I mention our power that we should have to control all of nature, it is not for our vanity, our pride. The saints accomplished this for the love and the honor and glory of God, for the salvation of souls. And this is what we must do. We must not seek this power for our own vanity, for our own pride. We should not really be seeking this power at all. What we should be seeking is to be in conformity with Christ. Seeking first the kingdom of heaven and its justice. And then everything else just falls into place. Then our lives begin to make sense. We begin to realize it doesn't matter whether we are rich or poor, whether we have worldly power or no power in this world at all, whether we are loved or hated. When Christ is living within us, all of these things become irrelevant. They don't really matter. The only thing that truly matters is Christ living within us. And if this takes place, then there is no concern about anything else. Then when God wills it, we will know what He wills and we will command in His name. We will preach to the world, not so much by our words, but by our actions. Our lives are meant to be testimonies of our faith. Our lives are meant to be an example to others. Just as evil men scandalize and lead others into sin, into evil, so the virtuous men are supposed to enlighten and encourage and entice others to do good. But it begins with us truly understanding, truly turning to Christ with repentant hearts, allowing the Holy Ghost to transform us, living that life of penance, putting off that old man so that this new man, this new creature with Christ living within us can survive, can live. And there are so many parables, so many examples for the grain to sprout and produce fruit. We are told it must be buried in the earth and it must die. It must die to itself before it can sprout forth and produce fruit a hundredfold. If we are to enter into eternal life, we must die to ourselves, die to this world. We must crucify ourselves, or we must take up our cross daily and follow Christ. When we begin on this project, this process of turning to Christ, of living for Christ, of dying to this world, of dying to ourselves, then we truly begin to live. Then we are truly alive. Then we can truly enjoy this world. We can appreciate what God has given us. Until that time, we're truly unable to really judge creation. We're truly unable to appreciate it. But once we put it in its proper place, as secondary, of very little importance when it compared to the life of faith, to the life of Christ, to our soul, when we realize that these creatures did not make themselves and they are not gods, but they were put here to serve us, then we begin to live. And tragically, most of the world, most of our scientists all look at nature as if it were some kind of god. And if they want to prove anything, they go out and prove. You see, this is the way it happens in nature. This is the natural way that things should be. And there is truly much that we can learn from nature. But nature is not the teacher. Nature is not the creator. Nature is not the one who made all these things. It is God. And when nature is in right order, when it follows the will of God, it is magnificent. It is wonderful, but it is not God. And those who make it out to be a god are always disappointed, are always frustrated. And nature, as St. Augustine would say to us, speaks out loud and clear, we are not God. We did not make ourselves. We do not even have a voice like you do. You are greater than we are. But you too are a creature from God. And St. Augustine asks, who has the ears to hear this? Who has the understanding to grasp this? It is only within the depths of our soul, when we turn to God, that we can hear creation speaking this way to us. When we can begin to understand it. And only when we see it in this light do we actually comprehend its true beauty, its true magnificence. Up until that time, we don't understand a thing. We see nothing. We appreciate nothing. We are just looking at the surface. As I say, we are basically paralyzed. What do we do with this thing that God has created, that He's given me? How am I supposed to use it? Oh yes, we can make some useful things out of it. But if we're to use it to its best advantage, to its full potential, we must know why God created it. We must understand God's purposes. We must turn to God. And those who have refused to turn to God They only waste God's creation. They only destroy. They only tear down. Those who are one with God, they create with God. They build up. They conserve. They save. They recreate. They fulfill that prayer within themselves to the Holy Ghost. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of this earth. That is what we should be doing. The Holy Ghost dwelling within us, as we go throughout this world, it should be renewing the whole earth, all of creation. It is time for us to rise up from that paralyzed state, from that lethargy, from that sleep, from that old man, from that dead man, and put on this new living creature in Christ. And live like God intended us to live. Constantly turning to Him, constantly lifting our hearts up to Him, constantly reminding ourselves of who we are, what we are, and why we are. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.